This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about the authority of the Word of God.
We've been talking about the fact that we are the body of Christ. And because we're His body, He has chosen that it's through us that He's going to carry out all of the work that He wants to do in the earth today. He has voluntarily limited Himself. He doesn't just zap something and cause it to be the way He wants it to be. He doesn't send an angel to do the work. He has chosen us. We are His body. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are the body of Christ. And therefore, whatever He wants to get done in the world today, He wants to do it through us. John 14:12, look at this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. You see how Jesus set it up? He said, I'm going to the Father. I'm leaving this earth. I will no longer physically be here. But I have left the body of Christ. I've left you, the believers, those who believe in me. And my purpose is that the work will not stop. I'm going back to the Father, but the work is not going to stop on the earth. Why? Because I've left you here to perform that work. You are my hands. You are my feet. And everything that I have done, you will do also. In fact, it says, even greater works. Greater works than what he has done when he was on the earth. He expects his body to be involved in doing. Now catch this. If we're to do what Jesus did, then we've got to have the tools and the weapons that Jesus had. Isn't that right? I mean, whatever he had that allowed him to do what he did on the earth, if we're going to do that and greater works, we've got to have access to the same power, the same abilities, the same tools. And what we want to do today is to look at one of the most powerful tools that Jesus used while he walked the earth in order to do the work that he came to do. One of the most powerful tools that is also available to us today. We read this morning from Mark chapter 1, Mark 1, 21 through 28. Let me just read that passage for you again as we get into what we want to talk about this morning. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout the region around Galilee. Now, look at what happened. Jesus came into the synagogue that day. This was his habit. Every Sabbath day, he would find him in the synagogue. And he came and he walked up to the front to teach. And when he began to teach, it says the people were amazed at the way that he taught. Why? He taught with such authority. They had never seen it before. You know, the way the rabbis used to teach, or the scribes, they would take a passage of scripture and they would look at that passage and they would say, well, now, Rabbi so-and-so said this about this passage, and Rabbi somebody else said this about this passage, and then a third rabbi said something like that, and if you kind of balance all between the two or the three who said something about it, then we come out with some kind of answer to it. Jesus didn't go through all that. You know what Jesus did? Go over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Look at how Jesus handled this thing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. When Jesus taught, he didn't come around talking about, well, so-and-so said this, and somebody else said that, and it might be this, and it might be that. Matthew 5, 38. Look at how Jesus handled it. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, did you catch what he said? Jesus comes into the synagogue. He begins to teach. And instead of quoting all the authorities about what the word might be and what it might mean, he stands up and says, I tell you. Now, why could Jesus stand up and say, I tell you, this is the truth. This is what you need to do. This is what God requires of you. How is it that Jesus could take that authority on himself to stand up in front of the people and say, I say it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was this Jesus? Who was this Jesus? He was the Word. He was the Word. In the moment that he spoke that word into that synagogue, to that congregation of people, what did they hear? They were hearing the Word of God. Why? Because the author was speaking. Amen? He had the authority because he was the author of the word. But catch this. The reason why he spoke with such authority was not because he was Jesus. It was because what he was speaking was the word of God. It's the word that has the authority. The word of God has authority to change circumstances and to change lives. And when Jesus stood before them and spoke that word, they heard that authority and it changed lives. Look at what happened. He spoke the word and a man was delivered from the power of the enemy. Isn't that right? A man was delivered from the power of Satan. But something else happened that I think was even more important than that. You know, it's dramatic. It's dramatic when somebody is in the clutches of the enemy and you come along and you speak the word and you say, come out of him, and the demon leaves him. That's dramatic. But something even more important happened. It said he spoke the word. And down in verse 27, then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine? What new teaching is this? What was going on? Go over to Romans 12, verse 2. Here's what I believe was happening in that synagogue that day that was even more important than the fact that a man was delivered from the oppression of the enemy. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what was happening in that synagogue that day? Some people's minds were being renewed by the word of God. They were hearing something they had never heard before, and because it was being taught with authority, they could sense this is the word of God, and it began to come into their hearts and come into their minds. And it says that when that happens, when your mind begins to be renewed by the word of God, what's going to happen to your life? You're no longer going to be conformed to the world. What's going to happen? You're going to be transformed. Amen? When the word of God comes with authority and power, and you hear it and you receive it, your life will be transformed. And that's what happened to those people in that synagogue that day. Oh, it was a great thing that this man was delivered from this demon. That was a great thing, a mighty thing. But the more important thing was that everybody else that was there, their lives began to be transformed by the authority of the word of God. That was the tool that Jesus used. That was the tool that he used to do the work here on earth. He spoke the word, And when he spoke the word, he spoke it with authority. And because it was the word of God, and because it was spoken with authority, people's lives were changed. Now, I shared with you that Jesus did not do what the other teachers did. He didn't quote one rabbi and another rabbi. He spoke the word. Let me digress for a moment. I don't want you quoting me. I don't want you quoting me. Have you heard somebody come and say, well, my pastor said thus and such? My word has no authority. Do you know that? My word has no authority. The only word that I have to give you is the word of God. If you come to me and you say, this is going on in my life and I need help, you know what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you the word. I'm going to say, the word says this about your situation. The word says that if you do this, this will result. And if you say, well, I don't want to do that, I don't have anything to give you. If the word is not the answer to your situation, there's nothing else I have to give. Why? It's only the word that has authority. So I don't want to hear you quoting me. I don't want you going out and saying to somebody, well, my pastor said, this is the way it is. You know what my job is? My job is to take you to the word, to open up the word so that you can understand the word. You can see what God is saying in his word. And you no longer have to talk about my pastor said. All you have to say is the word of God says, and point it out. Amen. So I'm just the middleman. You can go right past me. Don't come to me. Go to the source. If you want to say, this is what you need to do, this is the truth, this is what you need to know and understand. If you want to say that to somebody, don't come to me. Take them to the word. Take them to the truth. And if you don't know what the word says, then you can say, well, I'll find out. But don't be saying to somebody, well, my pastor said, and therefore that settles it. I appreciate the compliment, but it just ain't true. Speak the word. Speak the word. You know the wonderful thing about what Jesus did? When he spoke that word, he didn't do anything that we can't do. He spoke the word with authority. And the scripture teaches us that it is the word itself that carries the authority to see God's will done. Go over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Look at how God talks about his word. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. That's Jesus. He's saying this word that he speaks. You know, one day this heaven and this earth, everything that we see is going to be rolled up. There will be a new heaven and a new earth one day. None of this is going to remain. None of this. Nothing that you see around you today. Nothing that you can put your hands on and touch and feel and it seems so real. None of that is going to remain. One day it's going to be all burned up. But Jesus said, even when this is all gone, hallelujah, his word will remain. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will stay. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Let me just read it to you. The grass withers. The flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You see, that's the authority of the word. The word is primary. And that word that Jesus spoke, you know what? Praise God. He has given us the authority to speak that same word. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Jesus came into the synagogue and he spoke with authority and people's lives were changed. People were delivered from that which oppressed them. People's whole orientation to life was transformed. Now, how can we speak with that kind of authority? The only way we can do it is when we speak the word. Anything else I say does not have the power to change anybody's life. But when I speak the word and speak it with authority, because the word has authority, then lives are going to be changed. You know what that means? That when I speak, the word needs to be what I speak. How many of you are opinionated? I've asked this to you before. You have a lot of opinions about things. Amen? Uh-huh. And wives telling on their husbands. Amen? Now catch this. How many of you ever share your opinions with somebody else? You tell people what you think about things. Amen. All right. Have you ever shared an opinion about some spiritual issue with somebody? How many of you have ever done that? Something about the Bible, Okay? Amen. Have you ever shared an opinion with somebody who was going through a difficulty in their life and you told them what you thought they ought to do? Is anybody divorced today because of your opinion? Here's the deal. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. What does that say? It says that when we speak carrying the name of Christ and therefore representing Christ, what should be coming out of our mouths? Should it be, well, I think, or should it refer back to the Word of God? I had a friend in Colorado who worked for the government. And one day her boss came to her and said, well, the auditor is coming. And, you know, we need to get some things cleaned up before the auditor sees them. And we can't really do it right now. So I tell you what, there's some files here that we don't want the auditor to see. I want you to take these files and lose them until the auditor is gone. Now, suppose my friend came to you, called you up on the phone and said, you know what my boss told me to do? He told me to lose these files until the auditor's gone, and I just don't feel right about that. What do you think I should do? What kind of advice would you give? What kind of advice would you give? Because what she's saying is this, I could lose my job. I've been on this job for 15 years, and I could lose my job if I don't do what he tells me to do, but I don't feel right about it. What kind of advice are you going to give? What is it that you're going to say that's going to light that person's path to help them see what it is they need to do? Well, I'll tell you, honey, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, you've been on that job a long time. And what will it hurt? You know, I'm sure they'll get around to making it okay. So you just do what your boss told you. It won't be your responsibility. It'll be his responsibility. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you could see yourself giving that kind of advice? What do you need to do? You don't step back and say, now let me think. Now what would be the best thing for this person to do? What kind of advice could I give? What do I think I would do in that circumstance? What do we need to do? Step back and say, I don't have any advice for you, but let's find out what the authority has to say. Let's talk about what God's advice is. Let's talk about what the Word of God has to say when somebody asks you to deceive and to lie or to do things that are not on the up and up. For whatever the reason is, it seems I remember that the Word of God says that all liars have their place in the lake of fire, and that we're not to cheat and we're not to deceive one another, but we are to tell the truth, tell it with love, but we're always to tell the truth. And therefore, according to the Word, it seems like you need to take a stand. You need to take a stand that says, I will not be involved in this cover-up, in this attempt to deceive somebody. You know, there are a lot of people in jail today that it started off just that way. It started off just that way. They didn't mean to do anything wrong, but they felt themselves caught in a bind between what they believed that they should do and what it seemed like they had to do. And we, when we come and we're going to share with that person a word of advice, a word of counsel, that word needs not to be what's coming out of our own heart and mind. It needs to be the Word of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you see me in difficulty, and you come to me and you want to share with me and to help me get through my situation, I need to have the confidence that what I'm going to hear from you will not be your opinion, will not be your speculation, will not be what you think is right. It'll be encouragement and direction from the Word of God. Jesus stood before the synagogue and he said, I say unto you, we do not have that authority. Amen? We do not have the authority to stand up before people and say, I say unto you, and expect that that's what they're going to do. We only have the right. We only have the authority, and we have the responsibility to say, not I say, but the Word says. Let me show you what the Word says. Let me bring you in contact with what God has said about this situation. And then, between you and God, you'll get it right. We need to be able to speak the Word not only with authority, but with accuracy. Isn't that right? Psalm 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. There are some verses that we as believers just should know. How many of you can quote John 3:16? That's an easy one. Amen. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, that's your homework assignment for the coming week, to be able to quote John 3:16. Why? That's the fundamental verse that we use in speaking to people about their relationship with the Lord, right? John 3:16. And so verses like that. How many of you know 1 John 1:9? 1 John 1:9. How many could quote that? 1 John 1:9. Let me tell you about 1 John 1:9. How many of you as Christians have ever blown it and felt guilty about it? Ever done that? Now, when you blew it and felt guilty, did you feel closer to the Lord or farther away from the Lord? What'd you feel? Farther away. Amen? In other words, has there ever been a time in your life when you have made such a mess and felt so guilty that you didn't even want to pray? I mean, you just wanted to stay away from God because you knew you had messed up. Anybody ever felt that way? Mm-hmm. You know what I do when I feel that way? That's when I 1 John 1:9 it. You know, because my feelings are telling me you messed up. God doesn't want anything to do with you. But then I stop and think, well, wait a minute. God said in his word that if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of that sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, God's word cannot lie. That means that if I take this sin and confess it to God, it doesn't matter how I feel about it. It doesn't matter that I was as guilty as sin a moment ago. He said the moment I give it to him, confess and repent of this thing, he'll take it and he'll cleanse me and he'll remove it as far from me as the east is from the west. And you know what? The devil is up there knocking on my door. Feel guilty. Feel guilty. Stay away from God. Stay away from God. You're horrible. You're a mess. What kind of Christian are you? And you know what I'm saying? If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Devil, I can't hear you. If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just. Guess what? When I take a hold of that word, the authority of the word, it doesn't matter what I feel, what I think, what I see with my eyes, what the devil is trying to whisper in my ear, because he'll try to keep you away from God. He'll try to keep you feeling guilty. He'll try to tell you you're no kind of Christian. But once I hear that word that comes from God's word, the authority of that word wipes everything else away. And that's how I'm able to stay on an even keel. I love that verse. And that's a verse that you as a believer need to have in your arsenal. You need to be able to call upon that in those times when you do mess up. Anybody here expect that you probably will mess up sometime in the future? Anybody have that belief? Amen. It's going to happen. And so verses like 1 John 1:9, John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, those are verses that we need to have command of. There are a lot more, but I'll just give you those as your homework for this week. Amen. Look, the Word of God has authority over the circumstances of our lives. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's word has power. God's word has authority. When it is truly the word of God and it is applied to a circumstance of our life, God has made the promise that it will not return void. It will accomplish that task, that work for which he sent it. So if God has given us a word that applies to the circumstance that we are dealing with in our life, we can know that if we apply that word to that circumstance, it will be effective. It will have the power to do what God sent it to do. The Bible tells us that we should resist the devil and he will flee from us. How many of you have ever tried to resist the devil? Amen. How many of you have ever tried to resist the devil and he didn't seem to know he was supposed to flee? Amen. Amen. And so this is a promise of God's word. It says, resist the devil and he will flee. But why didn't he flee? Let's see how Jesus handled that situation. Go over to Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Remember, we're saying, if we learn how to apply the word, God has made the promise that that word has the authority and that word has the power to accomplish what he said it to do. So when Jesus was faced with the task of resisting the devil and seeing him flee, how did he handle it? Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 11. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, here it is, what? "It is written." It is written again. "Away with you, Satan, for it is written." When Jesus was faced with the task of resisting the devil, so that the devil had to flee, what did he do? Every time, what did he say? "It is written. It is written." Every time. He didn't argue with the devil. He didn't give his opinion. He didn't stand up and say, "I think I can hold out against this." Every time he was faced with a temptation, he applied the word. He had a portion of scripture that applied to that particular situation. And he spoke that word back to the devil. And the devil had no choice. It says the devil finally just gave up and went away. You want to know how to resist the devil and have him flee from you? You'll notice the devil didn't leave after the first time. Amen? He didn't even leave after the second time. He finally figured out, "I'm not going to get anywhere with him. Let me save my energy and go work on somebody else." When we stand up in the devil's face and give the word of God back, when we just speak the word has the authority to stand up to the devil. And he will flee. How many of you consider yourself pretty strong? Come on, guys, you consider yourself strong? All right. Understand this. I don't know what the devil looks like. I'm pretty sure he's not this little guy in the red suit with the long tail and the horns. But whatever he looks like, he's stronger than you are. He's stronger than you are. He can last longer than you can. You ever been tempted and you stood up against that temptation and you said, "I'm not going to do this." And the next morning you got up and that same temptation was still there. And you said, "I'm not going to do this." But you didn't say it as strongly as you said it the first time. And by about the third day, you were saying, "Well, it really won't hurt. Just this once." You ever had that happen to you? Mm-hmm. Guess what? The devil can outlast you. He can stand up to you. He can knock you down. But the one thing the devil cannot stand up to is the authority of the word of God. And so when we begin to apply the word in every circumstance of our lives, we'll find out that the word has authority to change circumstances and to change people.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.